When I think of his grace and his mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company.
Yes, we are back live. Sorry about that once again. Like I said, we had a good show on Monday. Got through the whole show without anything cutting off on us. And then today, before we can even get live on the air, we get kicked off. I don't know what it is. I'm just going to put it off on the Blog Talk. The good old Blog Talk folks, once again, she's still listening. Because this is not good. But anyway, look here, y'all. This is Taking Limits Off Radio live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And we have a wonderful show for you on today. On today, in the studio with us has been a minute, the good old pastor, the cardinal himself of the ether waves, Michael, or should I say M. Bernard Henderson.
Bless your bones, beloved, tonight.
Thank you. Oh, we got sound effects. God did it for us.
You know what? We already had that. I can brand new. See, that's happened. You ain't been here in a while. He had brand new.
Hey, ain't my fault.
Anyway,
I'm here.
Thank you. Anyway, we have a great show for you today. We have a great conversation that we're going to talk about today. Should be good. Why should Christians engage with those whom they disagree? Why should we engage with those of whom we disagree? So that should be a good show. But let me give you the right information on how you can contact the show. If you are listening already on the phone, meaning you've already dialed in, you can just push 1 to be a part of the show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial 855-381-8804, 855-381-8804. If you're on social media, so we go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. If you want to tweet the show,
tweet.
You can tweet the show at that's at TTLO Radio. Again, that's at TTLO Radio. You can tweet the show, and you will find us there as well. We'd love to We'd love to have you follow along with us there. Also, if you want to email the show, taking the limits off at comcast.net. Taking the limits off at comcast.net. And if you want to watch the show, we're live on Ustream. That's me over here with the blue polo and fresh off safari. Over here is the good pastor of Michael Bernard Henderson and that good old
comfortable.
That good old dashiki.
And I'm going to find me some more today.
That good old dashiki.
Yeah, the dashiki.
Mama used to call it a duster.
Yeah, but
we're gonna come back to that. We're gonna come back to that in a minute. And last but not least, iTunes. If you want to download the show, the podcast of today's show, simply go to iTunes and do a search under the podcast section for Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Big shout out real quick to my brother in ministry. Hopefully he made it back from St. Louis. I'm assuming he did.
Yeah, you know, he's worse than me. He's been
traveling. Yeah, he acting like it.
Now, you know, I ain't seen Devon in so
long. I know. Yeah, I mean, look, know, me neither.
You know, bless his heart. You know, he's been...
Right. So, you know, but I get it. I understand.
You know, new church, got married, you know.
Right. Well,
all
you know.
Chewing on the way. I know you're working on it, Devin. But
how are you, sir?
We are fine. Praise the Lord. Well, no, we're doing great. Praise the Lord. We were in Hampton, Virginia.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting to hear. Please tell us all about it. Share it with us if you can. Give us a nice little
synopsis.
Yeah, there you go. Can I say this? You didn't share it because I guess you were too busy. But I guess it was one of Pastor Jamal Bryant's people who was posting on his Periscope. Did he do the opening every day?
Yes, he did the opening Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Okay, well,
just posted some stuff on.
Okay, well, every time his people put the opening up, I was watching it.
Yes.
8 o'clock in the morning here, yes, Chicago
yes,
time.
Yes.
I want to say he blessed me.
Listen.
Now I know you said you had some reservation the year before.
Yeah, the year before.
But this here year.
But now when I tell you that beady-eyed dark-skinned fella preached it in the room on Tuesday morning,
uh-huh,
Wednesday morning, and Thursday morning.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And after him was my professor, Dr. Carolyn Ann Knight.
Uh-huh.
And she lectured. We had heard those lectures before because we were class students.
Okay.
And then there was another fellow, I can't remember his name. Then Bishop Vassar McKenzie,
mm-hmm,
preached at 12. Then we,
mm-hmm,
had a chance to go home, this and the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you all to know that Bishop,
mm-hmm,
Rudy
McKenzie
Wardoff.
Uh-huh.
McKenzie.
Come on, talk about it.
Junior.
Uh-huh.
Preach.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my,
uh-huh,
Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
It's all right. It's timing out.
The man preached.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but these were relevant words both times. When Jamal talked about when the medicine didn't work, he was talking about the woman with the issue of blood.
Yes, yes.
And he was expressing that, you know, every time she went somewhere, it just wasn't working for her. And what he's asked was, what is the drug that we're pushing, is it working?
Mm-hmm.
Is it potent enough?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone kind of tied in, and Bishop McKissick preached, this won't get the best of me. And listen, it was just a time, and I encourage all preachers, I mean, we have to take the show on the world next time,
mm-hmm,
that it's a good time because at Hampton, everybody's on the same plane.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So ain't nobody no big eye, no little you.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal was walking around shaking hands, la, 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 and so was everybody else. It was just, well, it's a wonderful experience. And then I get to see all of my classmates from ITC,
mm-hmm,
and all, you know, just a little bit of everybody. As my friends say, I'm a celebrity when I go to certain things. I guess I am. And I mean, it was just an enjoyable time. And sometimes, mm-hmm, you need a time because as a pastor, you're always preaching and doing this, that, and the other when you can sit down and hear a word for the Lord yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because good preaching, hear me,
mm-hmm,
good preaching,
mm-hmm,
is so hard to find.
Mm-hmm. I just thought he was. I hate nobody else was. And I know he got plenty of money at the Hampton's Ministry Conference. That something ought to be streamed in. Do you have to pay to go?
No. I think they did have streaming.
Maybe nobody posted a link. Maybe that's the problem. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It was streaming during, mm-hmm, the time of. Yeah. It was streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was I just bought the CDs.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
I did because I know what happens with. What happens a lot of times, you miss maybe 75% of the sermon,
yeah,
when you're sitting there.
Uh-huh.
That's the feeling. And then the other one.
Is absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that is what, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wonderful. So And I really go for the fellowship. Of course I do. Mm-hmm. But I also go to buy my books and to hear sermons and get good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I encourage you next year, praise
mm-hmm.
the Lord.
Yes.
The Lord Day is coming, that we load up the truck and move to Beverly. We're not driving, though.
No, that's fine. I'm all in.
No, we're not. I saw one of my friends I hadn't seen in years. They drove from St. Louis, Missouri.
Wow.
To Hampton, Virginia.
Wow.
18 hours.
Wow.
The Lord didn't give that to me, saints.
From
St. Louis. St.
Louis. That's almost like driving from here, pretty much. Missouri.
Yeah. I think it's close from here.
My goodness. Wow.
I think it's 14 hours here.
Ooh, Lord, that's a long
way.
Ride.
Lord, you brought me from a mighty long way. Wonderful now, because see, next week is going to be the National Baptist Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be in Tampa, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to that.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I'm going to go to is going to be in Kansas. It's going to be for our convention. But
Kansas State, or Kansas City, Missouri?
Kansas City, Missouri, I think.
So it's in Missouri, not Kansas. Kansas.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
No, it's in Kansas City, Kansas. I'm
Kansas
sorry.
City, Kansas. Okay.
Ain't never Dorf in total. But anyway, somewhere over the rainbow. Anyway, wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
Buy books, see all your friends,
yes.
You know, go back and forth, you know, just talk and be ministered to.
Give me a rundown. Is there a charge to attend this conference?
Oh, yes. You pay.
Uh-huh. Come on, help us out.
You pay. What I do is
uh-huh.
I pay for registration and I get continuing education units. That's what I always get.
Okay.
All right. So it's $265.
Per person.
Yes. But
okay.
Ain't nobody raising no offerings no more.
Okay.
Ain't no more offerings.
Right. But it's
ain't no you need to give.
So it's $265.
Yes, $265.
Okay.
Put it like this. I flew.
I'm just talking about the cost of the conference. I know what airfare costs.
Yeah,
if
you do early,
mm-hmm.
if you are a seminary student, it's $120.
Okay.
With your ID.
Oh.
But if you register early enough, it's $200.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's like $45 for the continuing education units.
Okay. So if you're not doing it, what's the difference with the unit? Somebody, you get a certificate of saying you attended.
Yeah, that you get a certificate,
okay.
And because of what it's connected with, you get continuing education.
Okay.
You know, everybody wants to get continuing education.
Right. I understand.
So, great.
It looked like it was an amazing time. Just from what I saw, and the messages were just.
And sometimes it's the fellowship when you are
able
to sit at, and one of the things that Bishop McKissick said is that don't make your private problems no public possibility. Compare, because Jesus was at the table,
mm-hmm.
and an hour later he was in the garden. So one of the problems that we have is that we try to make everything that we've done private public, and it just messes us up.
Wow.
So it was just wonderful, 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 wonderful experience.
That's good.
And
that's...
I think we need more, I think as pastors and leaders,
okay.
we need more conferences wherein people can pour into us and we can sit down and just talk to people.
Yeah.
And more so than.
I think that's why we enjoy, and you were at a conference when we went to this one, which was excellent, by the way. You would have really enjoyed it because it was a time for, you know, yeah, there was someone up giving information, but it was never one of those things. We're up here and you're down there.
Down here, right.
You know, yeah, we're standing behind a podium or whatever, but we're on the same level. And even though they were up on the thing, I like the fact you said they did mingle with you guys
after
the fact. They weren't you know, I'm a televangelist. I can't talk to you.
And Jamal knows me personally.
Oh, okay. Well,
hey, Henderson, hey, how you doing?
That's good, though. I mean, that's good that you all had that. I mean, it looked like it was a really good time.
Oh, yeah. And then you go under the tent, get you some chicken wings, sit down and talk to you. You know, it's just one of those good things.
Now, how was the accommodation?
Right.
I was fixing that.
I don't know what this is.
I left that alone over there. What happens with, how were the accommodations?
Oh, I believe it or not, in years past and gone, we would stay kind of far off. But my little brother and I learned the trick. There's a hotel that's in walking distance
uh-huh.
of Hampton.
Uh-huh.
So we pay about $159 a night.
Now, how many nights is it? Because that was my question. How many nights is it?
It really starts
Because you left Sunday evening after church.
Everything starts Monday night.
That following Monday.
Yeah, that Monday.
Okay.
That Monday.
Okay.
And
it goes from Monday until...
And then Friday is over with communion.
It's what is it?
Communion is Friday morning.
Oh, and then that's it.
And that's it.
So they serve communion, and then that's it. Okay.
And that's it.
Wow.
Okay. So,
That's about right, though, because the last time I went to a conference like that with Manpower some years ago, and on that Saturday morning, we had word and communion, and we went home because we were done by noon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, by noon.
Yeah.
And by the time you get to shaking hands, So my little brother says one thing, I say another, and we just do our thing, and it's worth it. It's just worth it.
That's good. Next time before you start booking it and everything else for next year.
June the 4th through the 9th.
Okay. Well, you got that, LaTanya? We're going to check it out. And because we will take the show. See if we can get some press passes.
Yeah, hey, it's possible.
Because we can broadcast. How long is that event in the morning? Is it two separate? Is it a break
in
between?
Well, it's really what you're doing is you're going from the morning preacher to two lectures and then a noonday preacher.
Okay.
Okay. So I think I think the morning preacher is given an hour, the lecturer is given like 45 minutes. But now, in between all that, you walking around, you going to the bookstore, you talking about who you talking
to.
Blah,
so
blah,
then
blah, blah.
After the, what time is it when the last thing ends? What time is it then?
No, by that night?
Yes.
There's
evening preaching,
I'm
assuming.
The evening service is at 7:30. It's usually overpowered at 9:30.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Okay, that's a lot. That's
and
a
you
lot.
Have a break. You have a break in between the noonday speaker and 7:30.
Okay.
Go run and get something to eat. La, 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 la. Some classes are going
on. We probably could broadcast in the noon. So y'all, what time they break? Do they break for lunch?
Yeah, break for lunch after the noonday speaker.
So we probably could. Depends. There's an hour time. Hour ahead.
Ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
So when it's noon there, it's 11.
So we would have to broadcast at 11 there to be on at noon here, which means we would be in the middle of the whatever
election
going on.
Or you could be outside talking about.
We could be.
Hey,
we could be out in the lobby area because I know that's where a lot of people do some stuff at. So
I see, you know, we're at the Jamal Bryan table, the Dwight Whitaker table, and la 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 la.
Let me go on and not prophesy, but prophesy that we will be there on the following in the year 2017.
Yeah,
that's 2017.
Tuesday 2017.
No, okay. So how are you doing, sir? First of all, I'm gonna get you in no trouble. Who birthday is it today, sir?
My mama.
Come on now, talk about it. Talk about it. It's your mama's birthday. Is Alicia?
Is that
her name? Bless her.
Mama's name is really Alicia.
Can I just tell y'all something right now? She had you all by herself. Because I saw that woman's picture last night. I said, that's Michael with a wig? He need to stop fooling folks?
Well, listen, wait till you see my aunt, for real, my daddy's.
I said, I'm going to pull his beard when he come in to see if it's real. Because,
That's my mama.
That's the one that braced you.
That's my mama, that grandma's braced you,
right?
40-something years ago. Yeah.
Ooh, bless her heart.
Bless her
mama's
heart.
Birthday. What are we doing for my dear?
Mama, you know, my mother is, my mother and I, two of the same. When it comes to holidays and birthdays, we be like,
Right. But you got to do,
I'm going over there on set because she's working today.
Okay.
I'm going.
Mama's still working, huh?
Yep. No, and she works too hard. I want to go up to that job and tell her, listen, you just quit. I'm going to pay you to come clean my house. That's what you're going to do. Come there with me. But today is Mama's birthday. Happy birthday, girl.
That's wonderful. I saw you posted it a little bit after midnight.
Yeah, after midnight.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
A whole lot of stuff to talk about.
We're going to get to this article, Tanya.
Well, I don't know, Tanya, if we're going to get to this article.
Let me know when we hit the 1 o'clock hour. Let me see where we are at the 1 o'clock hour. Right. Let me know where we at then, because we got a lot of stuff. To cover.
Can we start with Orlando?
Let's go there. Thank you. Let's go with Orlando.
First of all, I didn't say anything about Orlando on Sunday because I didn't get the particulars about it. But now,
now you got a few particulars.
Monday, and the people at my job could be my witness.
Okay.
When I walked in the door,
mm-hmm.
I said, Michael, what do you think about it?
Mm-hmm.
I said, that boy,
mm-hmm.
one or two things happened.
Mm-hmm.
He was involved with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
A man,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And they broke it off.
Mm-hmm.
Or he was infected by some kind of contagious disease.
Okay. All right.
That the person gave him.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because number one, everybody that goes to certain clubs are not homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
this is a known fact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, when it came out Monday night, when I got back from work,
mm-hmm.
he had frequented the club quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
More than 12.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he had something on a gay app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. He had several.
First of all, when I saw the pictures, I said
he had several. He was logged into or had profiles on several gay dating apps.
Yes. So that's what I believe happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, he got mad because somebody wouldn't give him the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
La 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 la.
Or
la,
you
la,
believe
la,
he
la,
might have caught some?
Yeah.
And now he want to go back and
now he wants to go
kill
back
everybody
and slay the whole tribe.
Uh huh.
Okay. And I am appalled. I mean, befuddled, bewildered
mm-hmm.
at some of these preachers
mm-hmm.
that are saying, it's God, this, that, and the other. Now, if he would have went to a strip club, I can't hear nobody.
Uh-huh.
Went to a strip club
mm-hmm.
and did this,
mm-hmm.
what would have been said?
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't even know the clubs here no more. What club name is?
I don't, yeah.
Because see, when you get
to
our
like a regular club.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, when you get to our age, you don't go to clubs no more. You go to lounges.
Right. Okay, but you can say lounge.
Yeah, you know.
Right, you can say he went into a lounge, right.
He wasn't coming to no lounge. Because, you know, old folk in there, they got guns.
Everybody in there
already
strapped in the lounge
so
already.
So if he would have went, what's the club over here that happened some years ago where the people got trapped in the club?
That was E2.
E2.
So you went there, so I'm going to go there.
Come on, go.
I was here
uh-huh.
at during that time.
All right.
It was my last year here before the church split.
Okay.
And when that happened, I heard on more than one occasion, had they not been in the nightclub, maybe they would have been saved. Had they been at home getting ready for church the next day, instead of being in the club at 1 o'clock in the morning, maybe they wouldn't have been saved.
How many times have we been somewhere?
And something happened that had nothing to do. How many folk driving home from work? Come on, somebody. Work the graveyard shift.
I need some water.
Okay. And on the expressway, and some fool decided to shoot up cars on
Come
the
on.
Dan Ryan, and they was coming from or going to work. Don't get me started on this
no.
because they was this and that
That's
and the
what
other. Yeah.
And when especially when you have some people that sit up in the church that own liquor stores and
uh-huh.
you know, and clubs and what have you. So you know I am against that 100%. Okay. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, we have to deal with it.
Yes.
And now, President Obama and somebody said it. You know, this man has hosted 12 state dinners, but had to give in his presidency 16 speeches.
Come on now.
About people getting
Come on.
Killed by guns.
Come on.
And then someone stands up and says to him, well, you and Hitler want to take, he said, I don't want to take guns from y'all. He said, I'm sitting up here looking at this man who we have put sanctioned not to get on flights, but then he can go right to the store. And this other young man that was going to California to pride.
Come on.
To blow me.
Come on.
Really? So this, what you're then doing is you're giving up on yourself. So I want you, because I know you're not going to do it. You're going to come to the Barbidica Parade, baby, because there's enough of us out there. We're going to get you. I mean, the thinking of the people is so backwards and so outdone. I mean, I'm just outdone with it.
Yeah, I got into a couple of heated debates on Facebook, and I wasn't going to say anything, but I got into a couple. People have been posting these things, and it just kind of rubs me the wrong way. It ain't the guns that's killing people. It's this sinful nature of man that's killing people. Okay. You're absolutely right. It is the sinful nature. But hold on a second. If I did not have access to go get an M16, That's what an AR-15 is, except in order to keep it legal, they fix it so that when you pull the trigger, it shoots one bullet at a time.
Instead of all.
Thus, semi-automatic, not automatic. However, the clip, the minimal clip holds 30 rounds.
Yes.
The minimal clip.
Minimal.
Don't tell me he could have did what he did, because then I get this one idiot say, well, first of all, this ain't, you know, the guy in Virginia, he did what he did with two handguns. Yes, he did. I'm not saying he did not, but if we're going to go back to Virginia, let's go to San Bernardino.
Yes.
AR-15. Let's go to Aurora, Colorado.
Uh-huh.
The movie theater, AR-15. Let's go to Sandy Hook, the school, AR-15.
Yes.
And then this most recent one, AR-15. You can say what you want about the sinful nature, but all four of those guns were bought legally.
Legally.
In 1994, Bill Clinton passed an assault ban law, made them illegal for 10 years. It expired in 2004.
Uh-huh.
And guess who decided not to renew it? Lovely Republican NRA bought off right-wing idiots. Saying, well, we're not going to take away people's constitution. First of all, ain't nobody say we won't take your handgun.
No.
Nobody say they won't take your shotgun.
Right. Nor your rifle.
Nor your rifle. Or your granddaddy's musket. Whatever the hell it is. My problem is you walking around. Because, see, he couldn't have done what he did. Because, first of all, there was a – was there an off-duty – it was either an off-duty officer.
Uh-huh.
Or he worked security there.
Yes.
Who shot back.
Yes.
But he was outgunned.
Yes. With the gun that he had. And you heard it. Pop. And this wasn't no fireworks.
Well, see, that's why a lot of folks thought it was part of the DJ.
No. And
that's why folks didn't run right away.
Watch the part about the young black girl, which really took me out
of
here.
Where he talked to her?
Where he said, are there any black people here?
Yeah.
I'm not after y'all.
Yeah. He said, y'all done been through enough.
Y'all done been through enough. And believe it or not, I have friends who have served over in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
And served over there.
Uh-huh.
I never forget one of my friends of mine. I went to school with him. I saw him at Popeye's and I was in that. He said, hey, preacher. I said, hey.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, I served in Iraq. I said, hey, how did it go for you? He said, man, it's a dying thing over there. He said, I never would forget.
Mm-hmm.
One of the people from there told me I was walking over to the camp. He said, come here. He's like, no, I got to go over here. He said, no. Come. I need you to do something for me. And when he walked back over to... the whole camp blew up. She said, I'm trying to protect you because you look like us. So, and believe it or not, and we can say all we want to say, why do you think that those who are of Arab descent are in our community? They identify with, they crazy now. And they going to talk Ibio Oshata Shando. But they can identify. So people saying it's the judgment of the Lord. This man you had from Sacramento, California, Julio Fuentes, El Salvador, Bonwandez. Really, Elder?
Yeah. I had Tanya to reach out to him because
touch someone.
We was trying to get him on the show. I'm assuming she was unable to. I'm assuming she was unable to contact
Mahmoud. Okay.
Yeah, I'm assuming she was unable to contact. And was he appeared to be American.
No, he's something else.
Okay. Well, yeah, his thing about we are not going to be upset. The line he used, and I'm gonna I shared it with you guys in the group text.
Yes.
I refuse to share it on Facebook because I just don't want to spread that mess. But the line that he used when he said, we are not going to pray or be upset about 49 sodomites being killed.
Because?
Or 50 being shot. Sodomites.
All of them were sodomites.
The girls that was on doing the newscast. First of all, I don't know if y'all know this or not. Now, I ain't never been to a gay nightclub.
A club of ill repute.
Ever. Well, it was one time, it was by mistake. I have to show you. I shared yesterday with y'all one time. It was very funny, but it's my uncle's fault. I blame him for it. Anyway, women frequently.
By the way, I have some friends that own
mm-hmm.
some. I've been into
him. But women frequent
yes.
them all the time.
Frequent.
Because they enjoy the party.
Yes, and they don't want to be hit on all the time.
And they're straight.
They don't want to be hit
right.
on all the time.
Those exactly. And those women, the ones they interviewed, were straight that got shot.
Yes.
And a lot of
yes.
folk who died were
straight
that got shot. But you just going to make a blanket statement. First of all, pastor, Christian, that's what you call yourself.
Because it makes no difference whether the music is being played.
It don't matter.
If you put house music out here on the corner of Fulton and Central,
yeah.
even Madea.
I'm going to run out there as soon as you start.
Listen, Madea. Madea.
Uh-huh.
Don't be doing it. I mean, seriously, because of the simple fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's music.
Mm-hmm.
So, no. Now, continue. I'm so sorry.
No. So, the fact that I could only get 5 minutes into the video and I cut it off because
yes.
I couldn't even. It was 45 minutes long. I
yes.
just, I can't even believe to understand. And then he claimed he coming out of the book of Judges.
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to preach about judgment out of the book of Judges and how hard of a book it is to read and how violent and gory that particular chapter of Judges was. But here's my problem, sir. What happened to the blood? Preacher.
Elder.
I'm not saying that the sin, I'm not condoning the sin.
Not at all.
But my problem is your lack of even concern, your lack of empathy and sympathy for these people that died and are wounded. You're going to say, I have no concern.
Like, really?
For the sodomites.
And then what if it was your child?
Nuh-uh. What happens if your child is driving by and the shooter gets out and the gun battle rolls out onto the street and he just starts shooting random cars to get away?
Right.
Oh, that's different. Huh? That must be different.
And I'm just with some of the people. I even heard that Pat Robertson said something.
Well, that was a rumor. That
rumor.
Found out not be true. When he said it was God's wrath. I looked
okay.
that one up. Yeah, I brought it up on Monday, but
thank
I fact checked it while I because he now he did say. You remember he was the one who said what he said about New Orleans.
Yes.
Now that was true.
Yeah.
About Katrina, because of the right.
Because of
Pat Robertson.
Everybody always talking about voodoo. Listen, y'all.
Pat Robertson.
Voodoo is just an offspring of it's just what people believe. They believe
mm-hmm.
that you speak to spirits. They believe in all of that. Because I had a woman in my church that said those are heathens down there, and I had people in the church that were from Louisiana. They said, wait a minute, how can you say they're heathens?
Uh huh.
You don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Just because people think different than you, that means they're heathens.
Right. It was so disheartening to hear that. And then these people who want to take up for the gun laws and all that. I'm fine with owning hand. Y'all know me. Y'all know I ain't got no problem with handgun. I don't have no problem.
I believe in it.
But because watch this. If it's okay to own a semi-automatic weapon, a weapon used for mass destruction, then how come I can't get a rocket launcher then? How come I just can't go into the local army surplus store and say, can I get about 4 or 5 grenades?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a,
let me throw them.
Huh? How come I just can't go get one of them? Because what is it? It's a bigger version of a gun, the
yes.
rocket launcher. So how come I just can't get
one? I may shoot some plane out there.
Oh, that's why. Okay. But now, I do have some questions that came to my mind about.
Go ahead.
I'm still waiting on the, I didn't want to do these reenactments of this crime when it happens and all this stuff. I'm still trying to figure out, and it's a big thing going across on social media right now and then on other news organizations, how he managed to walk in the club with said rifle. First of all, it's Miami.
No, Orlando.
I'm sorry, Orlando. Last time I checked, it's about 85, 95 degrees in Orlando.
Yeah, degrees.
He couldn't have been wearing no trench coat because that would have looked a little weird. Was it in a backpack? I mean, did he not get?
Well, put it like this. You know, it is it's an alternative club, so he could have been dressed, with stuff on him that nobody paid attention.
I guess. What I do know about the AR-15, so you know about it. It expands to the size of a rifle, but you can push that handle in, and it turns about this small.
Right.
And then you could put it underneath a shirt.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's possible.
It is possible.
And then before he got, because all he had to do was walk in the club.
Uh huh.
And the person didn't have to pat him down.
And how far? Yeah, that's my other thing. I'm assuming they don't have metal detectors in Orlando.
No. No.
Because I know in Miami in the clubs they have metal detectors.
Yeah, now
they. Right. They got metal detectors in Miami.
Yeah.
Orlando. Okay. Let's move on. Can we stay in Florida for a minute, though?
But then it depends on,
yeah.
You know, put it like this.
Uh-huh.
Most clubs that are alternative lifestyle. Listen.
Yeah.
We people that go, that don't attend, I don't attend clubs no more, I'm too old, that attend, they're going to have fun. Ain't about no guns.
Right. You go to clubs, and I don't care who you are, gay, straight, whatever. You go to clubs to have fun. Nobody is going in there.
Hey, the blues is all right. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
And see who you can take home.
The blues is all right.
Yeah, hey, the blues is all right. Oh, hey.
We're going to pray for you.
You know that the blues is
Can we stay in Florida for a minute?
All right.
So this was it last night that the two-year-old baby was snatched by the alligator at Disney World. Now,
what in the Hello Kitty is Allerengators doing at Disney World?
Well, first of all, it's Florida.
Well, now that's because my friend had one in his backyard.
It's Florida. And ain't no part of Florida water safe.
None.
Now,
because, again, my friend lives.
Uh-huh.
The house is sitting right behind.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what it is.
Uh-huh.
And I kept on seeing something come up and come
uh-huh.
down. I said, Avenue.
Uh-huh.
There's something in that water.
Uh-huh.
I ain't in that water.
Uh-huh.
He was about that long.
Uh-huh. Well, this one was 7 feet. That come out.
Nice old pair of shoes.
That's a couple pair, Doc.
Yeah.
7 feet. That's 7 feet. You know, he's 7 feet long. I mean, he's wide.
Yeah.
That's a couple pair of boots.
Yeah.
And a purse if you need one.
And a man purse.
And a belt.
Some glasses.
Right. The daddy, according to the story, the father jumped in after, or tried to hold on when he heard the water splashing, jumped in and literally had the child's feet or arms or something, and then the alligator snatched him away. And then the mother came and tried to jump in too, and the alligator went on about his business. Now, they're still searching today. Let me go to CNN real quick because I don't know why they're still searching, but let me just...
That baby is in the alligator's belly.
He gone, y'all. He ain't gonna make it.
Is it she or he?
Yeah. Disney closes beach. Boy was attacked. Yeah, it was a little boy, 2 year old.
Yeah.
Yeah, he stays still ain't found him. Yeah, it's been 15 hours since the attack.
No, baby.
And the rescue officials still trying to recover the body. Right. So
It's a done deal.
Yeah, but now. You know what's gonna happen. You know it's a lawsuit coming.
Yes.
To the Disney people.
But
the sign did say no swimming. That there was a sign.
So
up.
What the baby was trying to swim in the water?
It said witness said the family was on the beach and the boy's sister was in a playpen about 20 or 30 yards from the water, according to the Deming. The toddler was nearby, wading in the water. There are no swimming signs at the lagoon, and no one else was in the water at the time of the attack besides the child. It
so
said the lagoon is
pushing,
not for recreational swimming.
Pushing the envelope.
Yeah, he went out, yeah. Yeah.
In a lagoon.
In a lagoon.
Now. You and I know, you and I have been living in, I'm back in Chicago, okay?
Uh-huh.
My ace is not going to the lagoon
in Gulf Park. I ain't going to dip my toe. I wouldn't even
dip. Is that one in Columbus Park?
You got a full lagoon in Columbus, too.
My ace ain't going. Listen, and we grew up here.
I would.
And we know ain't no alligator, we on reg now. We on reg.
Ain't no telling.
We on reg now.
You know, Negroes go get stuff. You know, Negroes go get stuff. And then when they get too big, they just throw it out.
But now, those of us, come on. Now, Tanya,
right.
I need you to tell me.
Right.
You not letting Baby Sweet or June. Come on, Tanya. Say amen. Come on, Tanya. I need you to come on through for me, baby. I need you to come on, chime on in on this here.
He said it.
We've been living here for all of our lives.
Right.
I'm not even going fishing in the lagoon.
Right. And they be out there doing that. And I'm going to take it a step further. I don't even go in the water on the lakefront. I've been at the beach, and that was back in the 90s. But I've never even, my feet ain't never touched the water of the lake. I don't,
Listen. We live in a time, where I see hanging moss trees and weeping willows.
Everglades.
Yes, Lord.
That's what they call Everglades.
Yes, Lord. So therefore, amen. But now, what the baby doing by the alligator?
Well, it said he was wading in the water.
That's right.
Yeah. I just.
Signaling the alligator come get me.
And then they said, people were saying, there was no signs of saying alligator.
It said no swimming. that means there's a hippopotamus among
something
here.
Something.
Elephant.
There is something.
Something else.
There's a reason why they don't want you no swimming.
Talking about that.
Come on.
And we're going to come back to
come
that.
Come on. What you got?
My niece, I don't know if you're listening, Jazz. Cohorts her uncle into going to the zoo once I got off the plane.
Which zoo was this?
Oh,
the Brookfield?
No, it was not.
You went to the Lincoln?
The Brookfield, because the Brookfield cost.
So y'all went down here to the Lincoln?
We went to
the free zoo.
The Lincoln.
What I like to call the Catholic school zoo. That's where you go when you got no money. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Cheering.
You went to the zoo.
And all of our walking around.
In all of our ways.
We saw one ostrich.
Where was it?
We saw a couple of small primate monkeys. Who was situated sleeping with their behinds pointed to us. A small cat like something, and a tiger.
I was just told by the producer that you ain't lying. The animals at Lincoln Park Zoo have office hours.
When I tell you, and then you had to pay $28 for parking.
Huh?
Because there was no parking spots on the streets.
You mean there are none available?
None available.
Okay, because they do have the metered parking.
Yeah,
over there,
but you know, you couldn't get them. And then they close at 5:30. And the vendors close at 3:30, I guess.
So what you're saying is you would walk around there, ain't seeing no animals and hungry.
I mean, now we saw a couple of animals, the regular animals, you know, the pigeons that poop on them. When I tell you, I told my niece that we will be going to the Brookfield. Because if I pay $20, I want to see some hippopotamus eat some watermelon, some elephant something. I want to see some peacock running around with some feathers for the zoo. Now, out of that, we did go downtown and we ate at Patilio's and we walked around and, you know, I found me a nice pair of coach shoes. But anyway, yeah.
Bless his
heart. I mean, the inexpensive zoo.
It's gonna be all right.
Oh, it's gonna be fine.
But yeah, I haven't been to and bad part about it, as close as I've lived to Brookfield, I've never still been to Brookfield.
I haven't been to Brookfield since we were children.
No, I never went then.
Oh, I did.
Because I was in the Catholic school, and you know, all our money went to the tuition.
Yeah, sure did.
So we went to Lincoln Park. Yeah. Now, actually, when I went, they actually had animals, but we talking this is in the 70s.
But I guess what? The animal knows are on vacation at Lincoln Park.
Because we actually milked cows. We still have the dairy farm.
They had a dairy farm, and I went in there, and when my little niece, my great niece went in there, they're like, I guess the snail ran out.
Yeah, that is a problem, too, that there.
Yeah, and y'all, Saturday, it was muggy and hot.
That yes,
was,
Lord.
It was very
yes,
humid.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Very humid. So now, getting back to the alligators.
Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, I appreciate sharing that. I just, again, I'm not making light of the fact that a child was killed at all. I just this whole thing about, you know, I know I'm waiting for, you know, how many weeks are going to go by before we get the largest lawsuit in Walt Disney World history. And then the whole argument is going to be, yes, there were no swimming signs, but there were no alligator signs.
No, dude, don't went and sat out. You know, they went in the way. You tell the folk not to go and not to swim. You know,
and,
some of us want to push
and,
the muscle.
And where, again, you know, it's easy to take your eye off kids or whatever. You got two kids. One is in a playpen, and the other one is outside the playpen playing in the water.
I just like you talking about, hello, bear. Hi. Hi, bear.
You know what?
Friendly bear. Listen, I want the bear to be in a rug in front of the fireplace.
We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you right now. We're going to pray for your deliverance. Christ.
Now, listen, before I left, you all were doing prayer vigils on the corners or whatever.
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
We have been out. We'll be out there today. My red shirt is in the car. We will be out on the corner of, and it's really unfortunate. The first week I was out, I hit all three corners. I was on Central and Madison, Central and Lake, and then Central and Chicago Avenue. By the time I got back to the church for Bible study at 7,
yeah,
at about 7:05
yeah.
or 7:10, you saw that message
from,
someone got shot right here on Central and Lake. No, that was the first week. Last week.
Yeah, when I was out.
Before we even made it to the corner for the meeting, someone got shot on Central and Fulton. I think it was around 5:30
right.
or so, right here on the corner. And then we went out anyway. We went out anyway. And then, so this will be the third week. Man, you know what? A lot of people have come. A lot of people have come to Christ. A lot of people have come asking
good,
for prayer.
Good.
You know, like I said, it's not about people joining your church. They're just saying, hey, you know what? Pray for me.
I need prayer.
You know, pray for me. So it's a good thing. We'll be out there again. I'll be on Central and Madison. I think I may change locations today. I may go and visit Laramie and Adams, because that's another hot spot. So I may go over there. Laramie and Adams is right over there. So
yeah.
So but anyway, yeah. If y'all can make it out, y'all know I'm gonna tell you. Come on down in your red T-shirt from 6 to 7 o'clock. You know we'll be out there. But man, that guy we've had on the show, George Beatty, Jody as they call him. Jody has his tent up out there on the corner. Man, he got his popcorn machine out there giving out free popcorn. The 15th district. They bring the grill out there. They got hot dogs free and water and you know, music is playing and for my super Christians, he plays gospel and then he plays house. Y'all need to get over it.
Well, now,
because it don't matter what he plays.
Hold on. Let's testify.
Come on.
What is house music?
Well, most of it is old school R&B now.
No.
And,
what is house music?
And some of it, right. That same beat.
It's church. Listen. I never would forget, Lord, ooh, you don't remember. Y'all, do y'all remember when Bonnie's used to be on Roosevelt off of Kelsey up over the stove?
I know all about Bonnie's.
And what's the club that used to be here on Madison right off Kilpatrick before it fell in?
Madison and Kilpatrick?
Yeah, that wasn't Da Vinci, was it?
Oh, no. That was the Factory.
The Factory.
Da Vinci was on Central and North Avenue. Yes,
listen.
Lord. The Factory wasn't really house music. The Factory was where the fighting was going.
Yes, sir.
You fighting in the Factory, get your chain snatched,
uh-huh.
Everything else. But at Da Vinci Manor?
Yes, sir, baby.
On Central and North Avenue?
The first time.
Couldn't tell me nothing.
This is during the time. I don't know if he's still. Frankie Knuckles. I don't know if he's still alive. I don't know if he is.
I know Farley is.
Frankie Knuckles had put together
uh-huh.
Shirley Caesar, Hold My Muse. And clap your hands over here. He's
uh-huh.
all right.
Uh-huh.
And when I tell you,
uh-huh.
I felt like going to the car, getting my tambourine.
No, you didn't.
Hey, I mean, I wanted to go on through. Do you hear me?
Now, have a couple tambourine players at the house parties back in the day.
Baby, listen.
They brought them tambourines.
They would come.
Some of them sisters would come up.
Listen.
And the speaker was taller than you.
Yes, sir.
What?
Yes, sir.
And
listen.
You get right up in.
You be like,
right in the speaker.
So don't.
y'all can go ahead on.
Congratulating you all on that, and I because I saw yeah. it when I was on on the Book of Faith. So the Book of Faith, praise the Lord.
Go ahead.
No, I'm trying to think of it.
Okay, well there is. We have one more. Right, so you know, we've been doing this since right before you left. We found out you were here that last Wednesday, and then we found out that it was National Donut Day. Right. So ever since then, we've been starting this thing where every day our very special producer goes and finds us what the national dietary food day, whatever it is.
Okay.
For today.
All right. So what is it today?
So let me find out if she's ready. You let me know when you're ready because we'll bring you on in. But
by the way,
yes, sir. Come on.
About that.
Uh-huh.
On Sunday, we had to sing a God in the Prayer,
uh-huh.
and they were having some kind of festival at the Congregational Church up here
uh-huh.
with food trucks.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Lines were just. I got me a cupcake or two.
Mm-hmm.
But beloved, I came on Chicago Avenue in Austin.
Okay, Chicago Avenue in Austin. Come on.
And I just wanted to know,
mm-hmm.
was it the same?
Uh-huh.
Walked into People's Tacos. Hama! Glory to his name.
What?
People's Tacos.
The one on the, up there on the, is it?
They have not changed one scintilla since I left in 1993. They still rude over there. They still slow as Hades over there. But them old tacos still got the Holy Ghost over
Do
there.
Do they really?
Woo!
Can you hold that thought for 1 second? Miss Producer, ma'am, are you available?
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we hear
yes,
you
ma'am,
just
we
fine.
Can.
Could you please bless us with the food of the day?
Okay, I will bless you guys with the food of the day. And I also have 3 restaurants that are celebrating the food of the day in Chicago.
Okay. Go ahead. What
so
we got?
So today is National Lobster Day.
Today is National
Yay.
Lobster Day. Are you sure about
yes.
that?
Because you know in LaGrange,
yes, I am.
They have Lobster Fest.
Oh, okay, so go ahead. Today
go ahead.
Is National Lobster Day. Uh-huh.
And the 3 restaurants that are celebrating this is Three Forks Prime Steakhouse,
uh-huh.
Tall Boy Taco,
uh-huh.
and Dive Bar.
Uh-huh.
Now, all of these are way up north somewhere, ain't they?
Dive Bar is really kind of close by to where I'm at, so it's close to me.
Uh-huh.
And Three Forks is downtown, so that's kind of off limits.
Lobster Day. Crustacean.
Yes.
So that, okay,
yes.
so that you said
Do not
close
go
to
the IHOP of Shellfish.
I think she means close
Do
to
Do not go
school.
To Red Lobster.
That's not
if
real
you're
lobster
do this
food.
Day right. Okay.
So now you need to text. You need to put it on the on our
mobile devices.
Our mobile devices about the one that's closest to here, because I could use me a good lobster roll.
What? On that note.
Okay.
Yeah. On that note.
Send it to our friend that we
now because he over there acting up.
Thank you so much for today's information. Yeah, we're gonna move right along.
God bless you.
I don't. When is Shrimp Day? That's what I want to know.
Well, I want to tell everybody that the Pope said.
Right. Can we talk about now? Y'all know my brother and I, we are born and raised on the Baptist.
Glory to God.
We have been Baptist, although I went by and through the Catholic school system.
And I went by the Church of Sanctified Church, still got it.
And I've been by the Lutheran
and AME
those system. And I've been to the Methodist Church, the
uh-huh.
Baptist Church,
yeah.
the Co-IGIC Church.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And the sanctified, all that. The no makeup, no earring, no earbuds,
no
none
nothing.
Of that. Right, long skirt down to the.
Hey,
fella. But the Pope,
I have his holiness.
The one that we know him.
Our Pontiff,
as they call him, in the Vicar.
Our Lady of Sorrow.
They call him
person.
The Vicar of Christ. That's what they call him.
The Vicar of Christ.
It says.
Go get down.
The Pope.
Uh-huh.
Let me just read what it said. His exact words were, this is from the Pope.
Uh-huh. Read.
Pope Francis says.
Translated into English. Uh-huh. Read.
Water uh-huh. is needed to live.
Uh-huh. Go ahead now.
But wine
yes.
expresses
yes.
the abundance
uh-huh.
of the banquet
oh.
and the joy
Bless him.
Of the celebration.
Woo!
Wait. He wasn't through.
Uh-huh.
He said, and concluding, wine is necessary.
Yeah.
For the celebration.
Oh, God bless his.
Now that's the Pope.
That's his holiness.
Now look, y'all can say what you want
about his holiness.
About his holiness. But
yes,
on this here occasion right here.
Ooh, Jesus.
Now if you can't find me no scripture to fight it, I got to go with the Pope.
I'm going with his holiness because he is the vicar.
He is the vicar of Christ. That's
of
what
Christ.
They say. That he I mean that's what they say over there.
Oh,
in, the, I was gonna call it the synagogue. What they call it? Over
in the Vatican.
In the Vatican.
Yeah,
thank
over
you.
In the Vatican City.
In the Vatican.
They have their own bacon, they own everything else. In Vatican
it's their own country.
It's
inside,
their own country.
Inside
of a country.
Inside of a country.
Their
own country inside of a city.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. So yeah,
wine.
And so I believe.
You believe? Come on, come on, help
that,
me, help
that
me.
That is a derivative. That's wine.
Come
because
on.
You know that the other strong drink is a derivative.
Come on, sir. Come on, come on. Come on, preacher. Help
of
us.
The wine.
Help us, preacher.
Glory to God.
Help us. Help
and
us.
Then he said, because see, when you're drinking wine, you're drinking Jesus, because he said, I am the true vine.
You better.
Oh, bless his high holy name. And my father is the husband man.
You know what?
You know, Jesus always talked about wine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I think it's imperative that we take the Pope up on what he said.
That's why I think, you know, this. Once again, this is my problem with the National Baptist Covenant.
We changed that at our church.
Y'all
said we will abstain from
the sale and use of wine as alcohol as an intoxicating drink.
What if you got some people in your church that own an ABC store, a liquor store,
right? Or work at Budweiser.
The doctor tells them because there are some people because they say beer is good for the yeast. The yeast gets it.
And wine soothes the stomach.
Come on, Jesus. Come
that's
on.
that's in the word.
And then if you got gout,
come on now, the red wine.
Come on now,
the red wine for the gout.
Hallelujah.
Now, if your ankles swell up on you, might want
to gout. So I am a firm believer in what His Holiness,
the Pope,
said. His Holiness
said, Pope Francis. That's
we
him.
Thank God for Pope.
That's him. He man, what?
I wasn't that crazy about Pope Benedict to the 16th. But now Pope John Paul and this Pope right here.
Pope Benedict, that was a German Pope, right?
Yeah,
the one that was in the Youth Hitler group when
that's
he.
That's the one that.
He was in the Youth Hitler.
He breathed his life out sweetly there. He resigned.
He quit too, right? How many years? He wasn't even there that long.
No, but now did you catch this right here?
Come on.
Did you catch that the president of DePaul is stepping down after 2017?
DePaul, this school.
Yeah.
No, I did not. I missed that. Why is
stepping down? Because he said something about racial tension, and he hasn't been able to deal with that whole thing of racial tension, and he should have did better. So after 2017, he's stepping down.
Oh, okay.
Now, what would be caught, which I doubt it would happen, that we would get someone of a different nationality.
Ethnicity?
Yeah, ethnicity.
Uh-huh.
To be the president of the DePaul.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
Oh, my God. Look here, y'all. We're going to take a real quick break on Sip on the Water since we ain't got no wine in the studio. I wonder could we get... Now, that probably wouldn't be a good idea.
Y'all can bring us some of that. We can take some.
Probably won't bring that here in the studio. That, dough might get broken,
won't
too.
Won't be bad of food.
Yeah.
Be bad fruit.
We going to... Right. You'll be fruit inspectors. We going to take a break. We going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. I'm going to leave y'all with a little bit more of this here. Adrian King. So amazing. Adrian, big shout out to you, sir. All right, we'll be right back. CTLO.
Well, when I think of His grace and His mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company?
man. Big shout out to Adrian, man. We're praying for you too about the stuff that got stolen, man. We're praying for you. We're praying for you. Yeah, he had a break in. He had a break in out there, man. Somebody broke in, stole all of his music equipment and his laptop, of course. I'm sure had all his music on it.
Ain't that beautiful?
Yeah.
By the way, hello, Mama King and Yolanda. She gonna put on some turkey meat. Yolanda.
Speaking of some food, before I move on, I was informed that there might be a possibility that there might be an oxtail in my future. I was informed that on this here Sunday, from the good deacon himself, I was informed that there might be an
oxtail. I need to go by the Baby Ruth Butterfinger Factory and turn on the street and come over to the house. Let me tell y'all something.
I just was told that there might be an oxtail available.
I don't understand, because listen, we found right around the corner from Hampton, there is a Jamaican restaurant.
Okay.
And they have some oxtails.
Okay.
Now,
were they jerk?
I think they were. Okay. I didn't go. I just found out the last
thing. Okay.
And there are those who don't eat oxtails. Well, let me explain something to y'all. I know they're suspensive. They didn't stop being suspensive until we started eating them.
Yeah, you're about right. You're probably right.
I want you all to know that oxtails is God's delicacy.
Okay, I'm being told there's one on Cermak. I'm waiting.
When
for
a cow dies, God comes down and takes the tail off of the ox.
Is that what it is? Could you explain it to us? Okay, what happens now with it?
God comes down and takes
the tail off the ox.
As he's putting it in his hand, all the hair, everything goes away from it, and he cuts it down into small pieces. He puts it into a babbling brook of a crock pot.
A babbling brook.
Oh,
come on, teach.
And that's why it's so hot right now, because I believe God is cooking oxtails for us. And he goes over to China to the rice field and plucks up rice. Glory to
come
him.
Come on.
And that old gravy.
The gravy.
Woo!
Now, you know the deaconess, she prepares hers in some red wine.
And I'll take that. And the Pope said,
the Pope just said,
see, it's holiness.
Would that be what Elisha called a double portion?
A double portion.
Would that be a double anointing of the Holy Ghost?
Listen, that old oxtail ministry is delicious.
Now, Mama didn't make no oxtail.
No, my oldest sister
didn't. I don't remember Mama making no oxtails back when I was a kid. If she did, the fact that she said oxtail probably made me not want to eat it.
Right.
Because I didn't know no better.
Right.
Now, the first oxtail I ever had was made by the good pastor, shepherd of this house's, the pastor of this house, his mama.
Okay.
Come here about 3-4 years ago, invited us out there, and she prepared some oxtails. And I just took one. They said, well, then just go and try one. And thus the pot become empty.
Listen.
I eat every one they put in
there. And you cannot eat an oxtail sophisticatedly.
Oh, no. It's like a neck bone. You can't.
You got to put it in the mouth.
You got to grab that thing.
Oh.
You can take the fork if you want to and get that excess. Because if you get them good ones, the ones that are meaty, you can get the excess off with the fork, but I'm going to tell you right now, about 2 minutes in, all of that, as my mama said, all that etiquette.
Yeah, that etiquette.
Etiquette go right out the door.
And listen, your hands get sticky.
And you go on in and get another one. Now, ain't no sense in washing your hands. Just keep eating. Yeah, bless. Oh, my God. I was just informed via text from the deacon and the deaconess.
Though the call of a Christian is to keep the light of the world. To engage in dark places, the flickering hope of the gospel.
You better preach. You better preach.
We remain hesitant to converse.
Come on. Talk about it.
Anyone that does not share our faith.
Come on.
We insulate ourselves, perhaps unintentionally at first. What is that? Prioritizing church and the Christ-centered friendships and Bible studies. I had to maneuver on y'all to this article.
Yeah, he did.
Because all, then listen.
Right.
Y'all talk about oxtail.
You mean?
And it's hot. I'm lacking to go home and put my good old Paula Deen pot on the stove.
We did. In case y'all didn't know, my
safety in numbers of people.
My Wednesday host over here then started the article. Why should Christians engage with those who they disagree? The article is written by Abby Perry. You need to get the people to page the article
now.
Because you got caught up. He got caught up in the rapture.
As Anita Baker said, caught up in the rapture.
It's been you all the time. Go ahead.
The website is ibelieve.com, and it's under relationships on the ibelieve.com. This is a different website. I think it's the first time we've used it, but the writer is Abby Perry. Are we going to continue? Go ahead and continue reading.
We find safety in numbers of people like us and are threatened when the thrones of those with whom we disagree adds to their camp.
Let's just talk about that for a minute. Is it true, I'm not going to say it's true because I know it's true, but I'm just going to put it out there. Is the perception is church folk only want to hang around church folk?
Yeah, because they told us what good does light have with dark. But I don't want to hang with church folk all the time.
But is that what Jesus did, though?
No.
Okay, I just wanted to get
I need to have me some. Listen. Prime example. In my wonderful fraternity, in our DAFIA, they were talking and they were saying, I know you Omega.
Come on, man.
All of us become Omegas when we die. We go to that.
When we start off Alice, I know. Beginning and the end. Come on, man.
But now they were talking to me now, hindering this, that, and the other. Because there are times when I'm churched out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I need to have conversations. I need to have good, stimulating intellectual conversations.
That ain't got nothing to do.
That ain't got nothing to do with church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously. Mm-hmm. And that's, by the way, while we're talking about
Come on.
I have picked up the book, The Black Presidency.
Oh, okay.
By Michael Eric Dyson.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm just in the introduction, really, because I'm reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got stuck on something that was probably going to be my sermon for Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
In the introduction, it talks about the burden of representation.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And, you know, when talking about Muhammad Ali and this and the other, when you stand, you are not standing just by yourself. You're standing for whoever you represent, your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather,
all
of these people.
Right.
And so as you all's leisure, go out and get, and I'm not that crazy about Michael Eric Johnson because sometimes
he gets a little
beside himself sometimes. He's a little arrogant, stick in the mud. But go out and get the book, The Black Presidency.
Mm-hmm.
It just came out. I think it's number 7 on the bestseller list now, I think.
Okay. Yeah. That's good to know. That's good to know.
Yeah.
We definitely want to look into that. Let's keep reading. Go ahead, sir.
We think about the types of kids we want our children to be friends with, and nearly always that type is Christian. Parents picked out who think like we do. Sorry, that sounds wrong.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's where that. Yeah.
Okay. With whom we disagree about nothing more serious than the best
park
in town.
Mm-hmm.
And often before we...
Thank you.
Here to put everybody else. And they're up.
You all right. Don't start.
And often before we know it, the calendar is full and the friendships and social media circles include only those who post content that we nod along to as we read.
Mm-hmm.
And we have convinced ourselves that all of this is in the name of Christ, which is not true.
Yeah, see, that's why this is why I enjoy social media. This is why I don't mind going out with friends and have associates and friends who are not necessarily churchy.
Uncle Julio's.
because you need a downtime. Because, see, believe it or not, I know the Bible does not say it, but I'm going to just use my Holy Ghost mind. I am going to believe that every conversation that Jesus and the disciples had did not have anything to do with their salvation.
Oh, come on.
I know what the Bible says when he was teaching, but I'm talking about when they was just sitting up talking.
They were Jewish men.
Come on now. I have to believe that there was some downtime. When I get to heaven, I know I'm gonna have a little singe on the back of my shoe. I know I am gonna be a little scarred. Gonna be a little couple of charcoal spots because I'm gonna barely get in. But highly ever, when I get in, I'm gonna have a because Jesus. I know you told a good joke or two. I just happened to be, and because Peter cut up the way he did.
Yes.
I just know better.
I know he did.
So to want to hang around because here's my thing. I love to study. I love to study the Word of God. I love to read the Word of God. I love finding out new information and finding new ways to put things into context and all that. But sometimes I want to look at something else.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why it boggles my mind. Somebody put an article up on Facebook the other day. I guess they took their kids to go see The Conjuring or something, and they said, I wouldn't take my child because you're opening the door for evil and demonic spirits when you go see stuff like that, or when you watch shows like The Walking Dead and all this other stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, let me help you out this way. And then tried to reference the sons of Sceva as their evidence. First of all, can I help somebody? When the sons of Sceva got their behinds whipped,
handed to them
by those demons, it was because they were ill prepared for casting out.
Yes,
it ain't because they went in there just to go look and see and leave. They went in there and tried to cast out demons that they were not prepared for.
Know your place,
huh? So me watching The Walking Dead or going to see The Conjuring and whoever else and all these other shows, that how are you opening up, you know? So that just, so I guess that means if I have a friend who smokes, I'm opening myself up
that's
to want to smoke
up,
cigarette,
you know,
too, huh?
That's conjuring up.
Oh, that's what that
we
is.
We want to smoke cigarette.
Oh, okay.
Cigar.
Okay. All right. I'm done. I'm done.
I wonder if in our
I got it. I got
ourselves,
go ahead. Uh-huh.
Unstained by the world, we forget. The call to be in the world. I wonder if we love our safety or our opinions more than we love the lost.
Mm.
I wonder if we look at the insanity of the political climate and feel further justified in our own, in our self-removal. See,
mm-hmm.
The world is going to burn anyway.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point?
Wow. And again, and you're right, because it does seem like we isolate ourselves from, especially the church. It seems like we isolate ourselves from everyone else.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just like with this thing we got on the corners. You know, now the community has asked the church to join up with the block clubs and the police department and work specific corners. Now, they've asked you to do this and join in with other churches so that the numbers look larger. You know
right.
what I'm saying? But you're going to take your 4 or 5. And stand on the corner in front of your church instead of joining with the 45 or 50 or 60 on the corners that they asked you to come to. Let me read the next one. The point, let me read this here. The point is found in 2 Corinthians 5, 18, and 20, which says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. 19 says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Hmm. I think I heard that preached before.
Yeah.
The next one says, ambassadors for Christ, carrying the message of reconciliation. That's you. That's me. That's us, believer. This isn't an option. Nor is it a specific call only imparted to certain members of the body. This is how the church is to move forward as individuals and as a whole. Our mission is to speak up, serve sacrificially, give lovingly, live differently, so that the message of reconciliation may be received by those we know and love. I mean, at what point do we continue to? I mean, You can talk about this. Jesus' ministry.
Yes.
Okay. Even when he went to pick the 12.
Yes.
Where did he go to find them?
Right where they were.
Come, And were they the most?
Oh no.
Let me ask you this question: how many did Jesus pick from the temple?
None.
Huh? I don't hear nothing.
Nobody from the temple.
I think I just heard a rat peeing on cotton. How many did he pick from the synagogue? Huh?
The only person that was connected with synagogue was maybe Matthew, because he got the taxes.
But he was a tax collector, though.
He worked for the IRS.
He really was the IRS of the day.
Yeah.
But nobody, so he didn't pick none of the, how many Pharisees did he pick?
Yeah, you know, they were fair, you see. No.
How many Sadducees?
They were sad, you see.
None. Okay. And then
the only person from the temple was
Judas.
No.
Nigga, no. Judas wasn't from.
Somebody was from the temple. Wait. Somebody was from the temple. Wait.
No. Come on by.
Somebody was a member of Sanhedrin. Was it Judas?
Was it Judas?
I think Judas.
I think we need to do a Bible study. We're going to have to find out.
Judas was a member of Sanhedrin.
What? Okay, well, we're going to find out. I know I got some Bible scholars out there going to tell me. I already know. I know they're going to tell me in a minute.
He's a member of the Sanhedrin.
Let me look and see here. Let's see here. No, ain't nobody said nothing yet. Okay, I thought we may have got a massage or something here.
I think he was a member of Sanhedrin.
Not a message, a massage. I'm going to have to check. We got to check that out. We will confirm that before we get off the air. We will confirm it. Because the reason I brought it up is simply to say he picked folk from where he went.
Right.
He pulled them out of the messes they were in.
Right.
And then used them, converted them. Now you want to only hang around converted folk.
Right.
Huh?
I got my mind thinking.
Yeah, you go ahead and look at that while I read.
Read.
In Jeremiah 29:7. The prophet speaks to the Israelites during their Babylonian captivity and tells them to seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray for the Lord on its behalf, for it's in its welfare you will have welfare. Watch this, he says, for in its welfare you will have welfare, for in the cultivation of the city where you dwell, you will be cultivated, for in the flourishing of the place in which you are, you will flourish. Now, you want to break that down, make it real simple? What the writer is simply saying is, if you want your city to be better, you need to engage your city.
Amen.
If you want your neighborhood to be better, if you believe your church is a good place, if you believe your members are good people, then you ought to want your members to flood the community.
Yes.
You ought to want your members to go out into, as the old people say, the highways and the byways, and go out there and touch them, therefore turning them good. But if you keep all of that locked inside your sanctuary on Sunday and maybe on Wednesday.
Maybe on Wednesday.
I said maybe. Then you're not really having any effect on the city or the neighborhood or the surroundings. It's just not going to happen. We have to do better than that if you're planning on engaging people. Again, we're talking about the article, Why Should Christians Engage with Those Whom They Disagree. The writer continues, he says, in order to engage the city for its good, there is one thing that we will always, without question, have to do. We will have to talk to people with whom we disagree. And let's just be honest, we don't really like to do that.
Amen.
We get nervous disagreeing with other Christians, afraid that we will come too often. Oh, wait, I'm not going to tear that up yet. Yeah, I'm sorry. Just be honest, we don't really talk, we don't really like to do that. We get nervous disagreeing with other Christians, afraid that we will come too often. We sacrifice genuine kindness on the altar of impression and on the souls of our cities to suffer it. Too often we think that exchanging shallow pleasantries with coworkers or the participating in occasional service projects is the same thing as seeking the welfare of the city as God commands. Pause right there. Just because you have a food pantry in the city does not mean you're engaging the city.
And that's amen.
Because first of all, food pantries are somewhat restrictive.
Yes.
You know, because if you're getting government funding, if you're getting food from the government, you can't really push religion, even if it is in your church.
Yes. Now, if they ask for it,
That's different. But just because you're hosting this one or two events does not mean you're engaging the people. It does not mean that, because once again, this is a one-time event. This is not an engagement process. See, engagement happens when you're just out there all the time. Engagement happens when you walk up and down the street outside of your normal evangelistic outreach. It's not just because, well, you know, we have an evangelistic outreach. Okay, fine. What are you doing when you're not having evangelistic outreach?
Right, what else are you doing extra? I can't find what I'm looking for, but I
know you're still looking. Keep looking. We all right.
Yeah.
The writer says, or she says, I want to be clear that I think the only real way to have sustained, lasting, purposeful friendships with non-believers is to have a sustained, lasting, purposeful friendship with believers. The body of Christ is our family,
and oh sweetness, and oh the sweetness when it actually functions like it is, when we actually live like it's true. But the purpose of the family has never been to turn inward on itself and merely bless the people already in the circle. Why are we only trying to talk to saved folk?
Now that, you know what, in the words of the late pastor here, I'm so tired of trying to save saved folk.
Yeah, come on now. How many times are you going to preach salvation to save folk?
Yes.
Salvation is... I know, right? It's a little late, too.
Yeah.
Salvation is... if you done gave your life to Christ, you done took the steps, you done got dipped in the water, you done started taking communion, you done all the things and turned life around, and then salvation no longer... We ain't got to preach salvation for you.
Exactly. You already know it.
You know it.
As Jesus told the disciples... You're my disciples. You already know the mysteries of God. But these people, I speak to them in parables because they don't understand.
And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Engaging the ones that don't understand. Not engaging the ones that show up and put money in the offering every
Amen.
Week. It's the ones who walk past your front door of your church. That's a whole lot of sirens. The ones that walk past the front of your church every Sunday without ever coming in. The ones you walk by when you leave your car to walk into your church that you may or may not speak to. That's the real engagement. The ones of the neighbors who live two and three doors down from your church that you don't say nothing to. You know what would be interesting to do? And it's even if they didn't need it, probably out there in LaGrange where you are at the Second Baptist is, you probably would need it. But like over here on the west side,
yes.
You know how we do the food pantry?
Yes.
If you just made some baskets and you just went and knocked on some doors and just dropped them off. And
I think some of our people still need it, believe it or not.
They might. I'm just thinking because of the area, you know, I'm just it's possible because you might maybe all you can do is pay your mortgage.
Amen. Tell you out there, pay your taxes.
That's all you can do. But if you just went and knocked on some doors and say, "Hey, how you doing? I'm from such and such church, here's a basket." And it's like, "What? Here you go.
Thank you.
Is everything going well with you? Okay, good, great. That's one. Just want to let you know we were here if you need anything. Have a good day and move on.
And keep on.
You ain't trying to sell nothing. You ain't, you know, simple stuff. And that's what engagement is. A big shout out to Cornelius Parks today. I saw him. You know what he was doing today? Over there on the south side, he's giving out free snowball. Now it's 90 degrees outside.
I'm on my way.
He was giving out free snowball.
Because snowball got hold of.
If it's done right.
Woo!
Now, mind you, let me talk about Cornelius before we move on. Cornelius had all of the old school flavors. He had the coconut, the strawberry,
the blue,
which was the grape.
The pineapple.
He only had four. He was looking for y'all to bring him some more. He had four. But the folk, while he was on the Facebook Live, they started lining up. They was lining, because he was like, free snowballs. And they were like, why y'all doing this? He said, I'm just doing it. And people came, and it ain't nothing, you know. And he told him. I like what he said. He said, y'all giving away free. He said, yeah, we got free snowball, we got free prayer, we got free church service, we got free Sunday school.
We got free.
I loved it. So shout out to Pastor Parker.
Yeah, we like free 99
on the side. Right? Ain't nothing like free 99 now. Ain't nothing like free 99.
We like it.
There are so many reasons. Don't pick that up right there.
There are so many more reasons why Christians should engage with those with whom they disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Need just a few. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Disagreeing teaches us how to love unconditionally.
Yes, sir.
Shows us our own blind spots.
Yes.
Disagreeing reminds us of the common grace of our good God when we encounter ways of thinking in unbelievers that challenge our own selfishness and pride.
Come on. Disagreeing stretches our faith.
Yes.
It reminds us of the depths of God's grace, of how completely separate from our own reason or logic or debating skills our salvation rests.
Amen.
Disagreeing reveals the questions the culture is asking, the answers they are seeking to find. Disagreeing shows us how we can pray, how we can study the scriptures, and how we can talk with other believers about presenting reconciliation and truth to blinded eyes in the ways that turn on the light. You know what's funny about that? That's absolutely accurate.
Yes.
How many times have you gotten to disagreements with folk that forced you to go study?
And you like,
come on now.
Is that true? You like, no, that don't sound right. But wait a minute.
Exactly.
And but especially with now with social media.
Exactly. Because see, folks put stuff out there, and all it, you know, all it need is 100 likes, and it become the truth. But you, and even in our own community, even our own Christian community, we have disagreements.
Oh God, of course.
But it forces you to study. But I don't push you away. I don't say I ain't talking to him no more because he said, you know. But see, just like that, the same way he's saying this about engaging with people with whom we disagree. Think about if we did that in the church. If the apostolic Kojic folk who say all Baptists going to hell because we don't baptize the right way. If we could get over that one disagreement.
Or just one. That's the credence for their whole doctrine.
How much more unified would the church be if we could just get rid of that one?
Oh, it'd be so unified.
But we got to the point, we don't even want to talk. I told this story a million times. I got a good friend of mine who goes to a apostolic church, the Kojic, whatever you want to call it, Truth Delivered. Wonderful praise team. Will not come here to sing.
Oh no, and
gives me every excuse in the world.
That is
except
also
the truth.
That's because also they will say some of the holiness churches will say,
mm-hmm.
"What do we have to do with them?"
Exactly. What we got to do with y'all?
Because again, I grew up Baptist and Saint Paul,
uh-huh.
And it was not until I started singing with a community choir that I knew.
Yep.
Hey, they saved too. See, Mama. See, Daddy. Even sinners have souls too. In Acts 17, Paul looks around the city of Athens and sees the never-ending supply of idols distributed about the city. Speaking from the Areopagus.
Yes, Areopagus.
Thank you,
yes.
Pogos. Mm-hmm. Paul speaks to the religious afflictions of the community as he reveals to them truths about the one living God.
Mm-hmm.
Every part of what Paul says is deeply biblical, but he never quotes the Bible.
Mm.
Instead, he shows them the weakness of the and inadequacies of their own views of the divine and lifts up the true God for their admiration. That's hot right
uh-huh,
there.
Uh-huh, that's good. That's good stuff there.
He appeals as much to the to their
rationality.
Thank you, rationality, uh-huh. And until their imaginations as to their will and hearts. That's cute, Paul.
That's good. That's good. That's good stuff.
That's cute.
That's good.
Doesn't mention the Bible at one time.
No.
And you can hold a conversation with an unbeliever and not mention the Bible.
Because, see, when you mention the Bible, if they ain't in the Bible, so they don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
So then that's when your testimony has to be, that's when you have to be the Bible.
Exactly.
That's when you have to be the Bible. That's when the Bible has to become living, breathing through you. Your expression, your talking about it, your life story, your testimony, your ups, all of that stuff has to come out.
Here it is right
go
here.
Go ahead.
All right. Hey, I ain't seen you at church. Reb, I ain't got to go to church to have a relationship with God. I
mm-hmm.
said, no, you don't. I said, but now you do need to be a part of a community
mm-hmm.
of believers.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Prime example. What's gonna happen to you when you die? Oh, I don't care what's gonna happen to me. So you can just throw my body in here and that's it.
Mm.
But guess what? It's gonna cost some money.
Mm. You're right about it.
It's gonna cost you some money.
You're right about it. You're right about it.
And I know you don't like it, but some preacher gonna have to say something over you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the body cannot be committed unless somebody's been ordained, period. So
mm.
You know, but what I try to tell people is that you need to be connected with a faith-based community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It is very important.
Absolutely. Right. Paul took the time to learn about the people of the city, to discern their way of thinking and believing. And while his message was scorned upon delivering it, we know that a couple of centuries later, the older pagan consensus was falling apart and Christianity was growing rapidly. Paul's willingness to engage those with whom he disagreed had a monumental impact for the kingdom.
Yes.
This is a good Bible study here,
yeah,
especially for evangelism, for your evangelism team. He says, who comes to mind when you think about disagreeing? Who is not like you and why? Why do you avoid even subconsciously? He says, what are your gifts?
Right.
What are you good at? Is there an opportunity for you to contribute or develop your skills alongside others, believers and non-believers, as you seek the prosperity of the city? Can I pause for a second?
Yes.
we say we don't want to talk with the unbelievers or the folk who don't think like us, but how many of y'all going to go to work and quit your job tomorrow because you work with folk that ain't saved?
Keep your eyes open for opportunities.
That's a real question.
More deeply understand the context of your community. You're not going to go to your job.
Right, because I can't work with all these centers. I want to please email me right now because I just want to know. Matter of fact, if you're gonna quit your job when you type your letter of resignation to turn it in and it's signed and it's secure, you come sit right here. We got an extra seat. You can come sit right here at the TTLO. I would love to have you in here because I would really love to hear your story.
And the border cultural climate.
Uh-huh.
Are you intrigued by art and entertainment? Consider how you can learn and engage that dimension of society, government, justice, city planning, literature, as they say in school, literature. What avenues could you take?
You know what?
To seek the prosperity of the city,
mm-hmm.
consider bringing this up. Or with your spouse, friends, or small groups, and discussing together the gifts you see in one another that could be used as inroads to have conversations with people from other ways of life, or skin colors, or political parties, or religion, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Pray and remind one another of the call to be ministers of reconciliation, to be the ones through whom God is making His appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Go forth. Disagree and seek the peace and prosperity of the city.
Amen. Amen. That's you can't. First of all, I like you just going back to the conversation with Paul and all the way down. Just have a conversation with folks.
Yeah,
just talk to people. Well, I don't know what to say. Well, see, first of all, and now everybody does not have, because you know we're doing spiritual gifts this month at the kingdom here. Everybody doesn't have the spiritual gift of evangelism or a gift of the evangelist,
yes.
because the word evangelism is not in the Bible, but evangelist.
Yes.
Everyone doesn't have the gift of evangelism, but everybody should know how to tell people about God.
Yes.
It's two different things.
In your own way.
Why are you saved? And see, I believe this is why people can't tell folks about God. They don't know why they got saved. And if you don't know why you're saved, then maybe you ain't saved.
Maybe that's something I need to pose to the church today in Bible
study. It is seriously. Think about that. Think about that. If you can't tell people, here's the deal. Michael, why do you go to Wiley's?
Because they got the good barbecue meat, and I'm probably going to go by there on my way going to the house. And that old barbecue sauce is mighty tasty.
That's his testimony. That's why he goes to Wiley's.
Yes.
Now, somebody turn around and say, well, why do you go to that? Why do you go to church? You ought to be able to give an answer.
It is.
You ought to be able to give an answer.
You know the superficial answer.
No, see.
The praise and worship to love.
Mm-mm. See.
What?
Okay. Why did you give your life to Christ?
Now. That's the question. Sorry.
That's okay. It's after hours. Okay. Yeah, he put it up to the microphone. Then he put it right up to the microphone.
I'm going to call you back in directly.
No, he did not just answer that phone. On. Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!
Hey, this is CTLO.
Anyway, but it's just that simple. Do you know why you got saved?
Yes.
Do you know why you got saved? Because if you could tell, because that in itself is your testimony.
Yes.
That's your evangelism. If you can tell folks why you got saved. See, the problem is so many of us got saved because Big Mama took our hand and walked us down
and
the aisle.
Made us go.
Now the question is, and I still got to ask this question: Are you really saved?
For real.
That's a good question.
Put it like this. Listen, I joined church when I was 12. I didn't really learn about God. I was a church kid.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't really experience God
uh-huh.
until I was 13.
See, I joined church at 10.
Yeah, I did join church at 10. No, I joined church at 9.
I joined church at 10 right downstairs. I joined church at 10. And I can tell you right now, I didn't know who God truly was till I was in my 20s. And that's just the truth.
Oh, that truly was. No, I experienced him a lot earlier than that.
That's just the truth. I mean, that's just the truth. Because I wasn't in church long enough.
Right.
Because after I left, after I joined at 10, my mama stopped coming at 14, which means I stopped coming at 14, and that was it. All I knew about church was coming to church and singing the choir.
My dad stopped coming?
Yeah, she was an usher. She got tired. When she got tired, she stopped coming. So you know what that meant.
I'm not coming either.
Ain't nobody going to make me. She ain't going. So I stopped coming when we had a young adult choir, they called us the young adult choir, and the young adult choir fell apart. And when the young adult choir fell apart, that's when everybody kind of just drifted on off. So it was like, hey, I ain't got nothing to come for.
Because, you know.
By the way, I'm looking for a youth pastor who may be in seminary or in school that we can give a stipend to. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Continue.
Y'all giving a check for a youth pastor?
Yeah, we're going to have to give a stipend. Because, and listen, I've been even paying everybody. And because if you pay them, you can hold them accountable. Huh?
That's the truth.
I can't hear nobody.
I heard that from Reverend Dr. Willie James Sutton. I won't put everybody on payroll.
Right. And by the way, I'm going to start working on my doctorate in January. Praise the Lord.
Are you really?
I was going to do it in August. They wrote me into it, so I was going to do it in August.
Where are you going
to
go?
I'm going to United in Dayton.
United in Dayton. Is that you going to
do it? Theological
Seminary. You going to do it online?
No.
Oh, you actually going to?
I'm going to. You have two-week intensives.
Oh.
Yeah.
Two?
This is going to be a real doctorate. This ain't going to be the online thing.
See, here you go, this real doctor online stuff. I ain't talking about the ones you go buy. I'm just asking, do they have online stuff, service?
And I can get you in there, too. because you could use this as your project.
I got something from I keep getting something. I get stuff from Liberty every day because they want some more of my money.
Everything.
They want some more of my money. I'm like, y'all get out of me, Liberty. I'm sorry. That's,
so we're not doing that now.
I'm good because I'm retired, you see.
Semi.
No, I'm done. Let's move on. Anyway, y'all, this has been a wonderful article. We actually went over a little bit. Thank you, Tanya, for extending the show because I sure forgot. we had went over. Anything else? What you got going on this weekend, sir? So now, you were back for Sunday. So
I was back for Sunday.
Okay, all right. Now, one of your members, Candace, or somebody had surgery.
Candace had
hip or knee or something.
The pin moved out of her.
Okay, is she? How is she?
She's coming along.
That's wonderful. That's one.
She probably has some nice pain pills for Pastor.
I did get some information here about the there is Sawa's old Warsaw restaurants.
Yes, over by me.
Oh, you know what that is?
Oh, let me tell you, that's a big old Polish restaurant sitting right there on the corner of Cermak.
Is that what that is?
Oh, they have delightful food over
there. They have oxtails, according to our
producer. They do. They have oxtails at certain times.
Oh, at certain times, right, because sometimes they don't have them.
Because I went in there for Mother's Day, and they had nice lox and good soup.
I'm not eating no lox.
I like lox.
I don't mess around with lox. Anyway.
I like lox. Y'all know what lox are, right?
Yeah. Fishes.
Salmon.
Is that what it is?
It's salmon.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, Michael's one of the ones that pronounces the L in salmon.
Salmon. It is salmon.
Is it salmon?
It ain't salmon.
It ain't salmon?
No,
it's not.
I say salmon.
It's not. Is it Salmon? Salmon?
I call it salmon.
It is Salmon. Salmon.
Salmon.
Now, you don't say do you say salmon croquettes? Do you say salmon croquettes?
I can't say salmon.
See?
So guess what?
See what?
We used to get macca. Not macro, but macca. You were up at it if you got salmon.
You got
salmon croquettes.
Salmon, okay.
Salmon croquettes.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, you ain't been here in a few weeks. Could you pray us out, sir? Bless the Lord.
Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for who you are in our lives, and we pray for those who are suffering, for the families of those in Orlando, for the family of the young man who they cannot find right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray for our city, we pray for our state, we pray for our nation, we pray for our outgoing president, and we pray, God, that you would hold the world in the palm of your hand, which you always do, because you're always in control. Be with us and stand by us. Bless Mr. TTLO family, and keep us in our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Congratulations, Junebug, on graduating.
Yes, he did. That's right. Shout out to Junebug. Look, y'all, we will be back on Friday with Praise Break Friday. Y'all stay blessed. And if you're in the city of Chicago, keep your head on the swivel. Y'all stay blessed. We out of here.
We give you all the glory.